And then if you would open up your Bible to Mark chapter 13, and we're going to read verse 1 to 8. Mark 13, verse 1. Before we read this, let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word that we're about to read, your word which leads and guides us, your word which shows us more and more about yourself. We ask you, Lord, that you open up our hearts and minds today. May we receive what you have for us, that our lives may be changed, if only a little. We also pray, Lord, that anything not from you is just forgotten, so that we may have more and more room for your spirit. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Mark chapter 13, verse 1 to 8. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." And Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I served a church several years ago, not the last one, but the one previous to that, Punxsutawney, outside of Punxsutawney, a little place called Timlin. Anyone hear of Timlin? There's no reason to. It's really small. If you like that kind of country living, it would be perfect. There was literally 35 houses in the entire town, maybe less. The housing cost was nice, about $20,000 for a home. You're about 18 miles from Punxsutawney, which is the closest town, closest Walmart, which I visited a lot just to feel like I was in the city. It was a challenge. The cows really do outnumber the horses, the people, I mean, in that place. Beautiful in its own way, and the people were wonderful. And I met a boy my age, and he went to a Jeff Foxworthy concert show. You remember Jeff Foxworthy? His whole thing is you might be a redneck if. They went there in Pittsburgh, and they fouled out of the van. There's a whole bunch of his friends with them. They fouled out of the van, and the first thing they did is they stood in the streets of Pittsburgh was And kept looking up for, I guess, 5-10 minutes, looking around. And someone in their group said in a rather loud voice, "You might be a redneck if you look like this." And that's kind of what the disciples were doing in Jerusalem. They came out of the temple, and they were looking around, and they looked back at the temple, and they said, "Man." And they elbowed Jesus, and they said, "Look at this. This is the house built for your father, the one you claim is your father." And they said, "Isn't it beautiful?" It was. It was huge. There's a historian, his name's Josephus, and he gave us, he gave us actual measurements. There it is. No, that's not it. Maybe I stuck it back in the Bible. There it is. He gave us actual measurements of the temple, not of the temple, but of the stones that made up the temple. All right, so one stone was 22.5 feet high. So I asked Chris and Gary, and this is about is the top of that lamp. All right, so 22.5 feet high, and it was, 22.5 feet long. So what are we talking, a pew about over here? And then 18 feet high, so what, the bottom of that thing just about? and then 12 feet deep. So what, four pews? Five pews. So one stone was from there to there, that high and this long. This is a big rock. And it took 10,000 people 8 years to finish the construction of the temple. It was enormous. A lot of care got put in the making of this temple. As it should be, because the Jewish theology was that the temple was the center of God. It was the house to house God. It was the earthly symbol of the presence of God amongst them. And so when you're talking about God and who God is and who we are to God, they put a lot of time, a lot of energy, and a lot of resources in making it as beautiful and as wonderful and as extravagant as possible. And if that was one stone, can you imagine how much bigger it was than this building? I mean, the place was enormous. And the disciples, they're just worshiping in the temple, and they leave the temple, and they turn around, and they look back, and they nudge Jesus and said, "Look. Look at how much we love you because we made this building for your Father." Jesus says, "I'll tell you the truth. Not one stone will remain upon another." You can imagine how big those stones are. Can you imagine what it would need to take in order to push those stones off? It would take an army. In fact, it did take an army. The Roman army. Not 40 years later, in 70 AD, 72 if I remember correctly, Roman army came and sacked Jerusalem. Left the whole temple in ruins except for one wall. Just completely decimated. Now, when they first heard that, can you imagine how it felt that they heard Jesus saying, "Not one stone is going to be left upon another"? For them, the temple was the center of their religious worshiping of God. For them, the temple was protected by God. For them, the temple was the presence of God. And to say that the temple is going to disappear is as if to say God's going to abandon them. God's going to disappear. And so for them, the only thing that would make the temple go away is the end of the world. And for them, the end of the world was the beginning of the kingdom of God. And so they were actually a little excited, floored, but in a way excited. Jesus' response to them was, "Let me tell you something." Because this was bothering them. You know, Jesus said, "I'll tell you, one day all the stones are going to be gone." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, which we assume was at a later time, Peter, James, John, and Andrew pulled Jesus aside privately. They were worried about this. They were wondering. It's really stuck at them. How can you say, Jesus, that this is going to end? And if it's going to end, that means your time's going to begin. When's this going to happen? And Jesus says, "I'll tell you what. All these signs are going to happen. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes. People are going to come and say that they're me." Basically, Jesus was going to say, "I got some news for you. It's going to take time. I got some news for you that once the temple is destroyed, the beginning of the kingdom isn't going to happen right away. There's going to be a space. I got some news for you. I know that you want to reach the goal, the finish line, the kingdom of God right away, but you're going to have to go through this time, which is the race. You're going to have to run the race and go through the trials." But through the rest of Jesus' teaching, he also said, in effect, "I got some news for you. You may see this grand building and see how beautiful and how wonderful it is, but this is temporary and paper compared to the indestructibility of that which is eternal, of God the Father himself, of love and salvation that comes through Christ Jesus." You see, the temple was a place to come in, and that when you looked at the temple, you thought about God. And that's what our church buildings are. We come into the church building and we look around and we see something that we take good care of. Because what it does is it reminds us of who God is. We got these stained glass windows and we look around and it shows us the stories of Jesus' life. We got this beautiful cross up here which shows us of the beauty of the cross, which is a wonderful sermon in itself. We got the cross up there. We got the candles, which are a symbol of the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. And all this is true, and all this is right, and all of this is wonderful. But let me ask you, if this disappeared, would Trinity United Methodist Church still exist? It would. Would we still have something to look at to remind us of the presence of Jesus Christ? We would. Would we still be able to worship Christ in truth and in honesty? We would. Because what Jesus was saying about the Jewish temple is true today, as it always has been. No building, no man-made thing can house the presence of God. And when those things disappear, nothing can destroy the presence of God. They still exist. What we have here is a true and wonderful blessing that we are good stewards of and take care of wonderfully. But it's important to always remember that this can never house the presence of God. That as we come here to worship, as we leave, we take our worship with us. Christ goes with us. And then that race that Jesus says that we have to finish, that we have to run, because it's going to take time before everything happens and runs its course, we run through the rest of our life, the rest of our week. That we go out and we run it with that which is indestructible, the presence and love of Jesus in our lives. That which cannot be destroyed, that which can never be taken away, sustains us for the rest of our lives and for the rest of our days, helping us put one foot in front of the other that no one can touch. Jesus reminds us that life, that time in between the temple being destroyed and the coming of Christ is going to be difficult. But he's with us always. Always and always and always. And so that we can remember and that we can praise Christ for. Let us stand together and sing our next hymn, which is found on page 133 as we lean on the everlasting arms.